I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, December 11th. I'm J.R. Wayland for The Wall Street Journal. Regular listeners will recall that we've talked before about the popular trading app Robinhood and how it simplified stock trading for its 13 million users. Its flashy graphics and swipe controls make it easy to trade. But how risky is it? Our intelligent investor columnist Jason Zweig decided to try it out.
Financial technology, like brokerage app on your smartphone, is just a tool. And like any tool, it can be used to make things better or to make things worse. You can build furniture with a hammer, and you can break furniture with a hammer. And you can make yourself wealthier with a brokerage app, and you can make yourself poorer.
So how do you do? Coming up, Jason will take us through some of the trades he executed and discuss the psychological role that financial technology like Robinhood plays in shaping people's investment decisions. That's after the break.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The stock trading app Robinhood has made it easy for inexperienced traders to quickly buy and sell stocks in the hopes of scoring quick returns. It's a far cry from the more measured approach taken by most seasoned investors. Our intelligent investor columnist Jason Zweig recently put Robinhood to the test, and he's with us now to talk about how he did. Jason, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks.
So, you know, Jason, you're known as the intelligent investor. You are Mr. No Sudden Moves. You tend to urge restraint. And Robinhood is a bit of a departure for you. So what inspired you to take a walk, you know, on the wild side?
Robinhood has gotten incredible amounts of attention this year, especially since the pandemic struck, as kind of the popular way for inexperienced investors to try speculating in the stock market and other financial markets. And it wasn't totally clear to me whether all of that criticism was deserved or what the app was really like. So I just decided I would give it a try.
Okay. And so what kind of trading did you do?
Well, I've always been a very long-term investor. Often, you know, I hold my investments for decades at a time, some actually for more than a quarter century so far. But my mission here was to try to make as much money as possible, as fast as possible. That's what my editor ordered me to do. So I went into all of this with a plan. I was going to buy extremely volatile, often very small stocks that had high recent returns. And the reason to do this is because such so-called momentum stocks often continue to generate very high returns, at least for a short period. And I was hoping to capture those and, in effect, get rich quick with my $100. But what happened was when I opened the app and started trading, all of the sort of buzzing colors and displays completely knocked me off my plan. And even though I had a list of five stocks I wanted to buy, I ended up buying a bunch of the stocks that simply were most popular on the app. And from there, it kind of all went downhill. The next thing I knew, I was trading leveraged ETFs, which are extraordinarily risky and can sort of triple the market's losses in the course of a day. And I ended up like losing sleep. I woke up at 2:30 in the morning one night and said, you know, I have to make a big score. And all of this was completely alien to my investing personality, although fortunately it did not affect my portfolio at all outside the app. But it did make me crazy in a hurry inside the app.
Okay. So you bought some stocks, but you also bought some exchange-traded funds. ETFs aren't really on the shopping list of most Robinhood traders, though, are they?
Well, yes and no. They do turn up from time to time in the list of most popular holdings on Robinhood, usually not right near the top, but there's no question that people do buy them. And I think the area of greater concern here is that many discount brokerage firms, if you want to buy a leveraged or inverse ETF, and these are specialized funds that tend to magnify the returns of various financial assets, both on the upside and on the downside, they might double the daily return or triple the daily return. So that, for example, if stocks go up 3%, you might make 9%. Or for that matter, if they go down 3%, you'll lose 9%. So these ETFs tend to come with warnings if you try to buy them on other major brokerage platforms. And you might be told you can't buy them at all. You might be told you can buy them only if you understand the risks. But on Robinhood, you can buy them just like any other stock without any red flag whatsoever.
Well, let's talk about risk. Markets can move pretty quickly and people can see gains or losses in a flash. Do you think the younger generation of investors is prepared for the amount of risk involved?
Well, I mean, the app really is designed to make trading seem fun, like a video game. Or in some cases, like gambling in a casino. There's a lot of gambling imagery, cards being flipped over. In fact, the stock quotes themselves are displayed much the way the results on, you know, a slot machine are displayed, with this sort of spinning reels is how stock prices change. And you know, the red and green colors are very vivid and universally recognizable. So I think there is more of an emphasis on return than there is on risk. And unfortunately, risk can be hard to observe in a rising market, but it will, of course, always come home to bite people in a falling market. And if you've kind of fallen asleep and you think that risk has gone away, it tends to come back and hit people very hard.
Now, as a columnist, you're paid to have opinions. So what do you wish Robinhood did to convey a better message about risk to their users?
Well, I think it's really important to highlight that stocks and other financial assets don't always go up. And I think there's a lot you can do to make risk more obvious and to make people realize that it isn't just return that matters, but it's also the risk you take to get that return that matters. And a lot of the rapid big gains that traders have made this year, especially novice traders, probably aren't sustainable. If we enter a period where average stock market returns are lower or even negative, a lot of what looked like skill will turn out to be just luck. And if all you do is highlight how much money people are making and you de-emphasize the risk that they're taking to make it, you can really give people a dangerous first impression that trading is easier than it actually is. What I would like to see is the same technological brilliance that went into making trading look so appealing go into developing visuals that would explain to people that, you know, some of this trading could lead to losses and maybe you should think twice before you do some of that. And I think, you know, Robinhood is very capable of developing that kind of technology, and that would give a more balanced picture.
Now, you asked Robinhood about the risk that their users take on. What did they tell you?
They've said that, you know, they have general warnings about the risks of ETFs that are available to Robinhood users, but there is no specific warning that these particular ETFs are much riskier than ETFs in general. Inexperienced investors do have a history of misusing these leveraged ETFs and really hurting themselves with sudden unanticipated losses, or even with gains that are much less than they might have anticipated. So these are highly risky investments that other firms do flag. And since Robinhood makes a point of saying it specializes in catering to unsophisticated investors, that's an area that I think, you know, raises some potential questions.
What kind of guidance would you give Robinhood users to prepare them for trading on that kind of platform?
First of all, you know, free trading and trading in fractional shares, meaning that you can, you know, buy very small amounts of stocks, even if they have high stock prices, is kind of universally available now. Virtually every large brokerage firm and brokerage app has very similar features. Trading is free pretty much everywhere. You know, you can buy 1/300,000th of a share of Berkshire Hathaway for a dollar at just about every brokerage firm. You don't have to buy one share, you can buy a tiny fraction of a share. So the marketplace is very competitive, and I think what Robinhood is really great at is making trading easy and fun. And, you know, if you're a high school student or college student, very young person is, you know, thinks that the stock market is boring and I would never participate in that, there might be maybe some virtue in making it seem appealing this way. But the danger is that you can overdo it. I don't think it's a good idea for people focused on long-term investing to be getting constant alerts about how their holdings are doing. And you can adjust that on Robinhood, and that would certainly be advisable for people.
Now, Jason, what was your takeaway regarding the advent of this kind of technology and how it's put trading power literally at our fingertips?
So I think something that's important for people to bear in mind is that, you know, technology, financial technology, like brokerage app on your smartphone, is just a tool. And like any tool, it can be used to make things better or to make things worse. I mean, you can build furniture with a hammer, and you can break furniture with a hammer. And you can make yourself wealthier with a brokerage app, and you can make yourself poorer. And a lot of it depends on the interaction of your personality with the technology. And if you use it to bring out the better aspects of your personality, then that's a great combination. But if you let it accentuate the worse aspects of your own behavior, then you can quickly get in real trouble.
Finally, Jason, we've been dancing around this for a while. You started out with $100. The big question is, how'd you do?
I didn't lose too much in the end. I had a few winners here and there, and along with a lot of losers. And I ended up losing $5 over the course of the 3 weeks. But some of that was because I was a little unlucky on when I entered some trades. There was one stock I would have made a ton of money on if I hadn't been on the phone all afternoon. And I had entered the trade before the end of the trading day, but instead it didn't get executed until the next morning, and I ended up losing money. But none of that is Robinhood's fault. That's just luck alone. But in the end, you know, I made dozens of trades and basically had nothing to show for it, and would have done far better if I had kept all my money in an index fund, which I actually do outside of this Robinhood account. So it worked out.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal intelligent investor columnist Jason Zweig. Jason, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, JR.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.